a blow for Full Time right there.
It's time for a look back on today's match.
This is the Full Time Report, the home for MLS in Atlanta. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome into the Full Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz making her debut on our Full Time Report from soccer down here. Atlanta United does lose a 2-1 match to the New England Revolution on the road. Their first negative result of the Rob Valentino era. He falls to 2-1-2 as the manager, interim manager of Atlanta United. Not the best of matches. It's one of those types of matches where you see the team creating opportunities, but not being able to finish. A little frustrating to watch in this one. Madison, what are you seeing?
Yeah, the same thing. I mean, you had Caleb Wiley and Brooks Lennon working overtime on the right sides, which is what we said at the very beginning in the pregame, just talking a little bit about how pivotal they were going to be in this match. Delivered crosses, trying to find it. It's still just no one being in the box to capitalize and finding the back of the net. And that's something that is really, really showing right now.
Yeah, it was one of the three keys to the match for me. And it was, you have to be able to generate the opportunities. That's, of course, an extremely important part of this game. But you also need to be able to finish those opportunities. And Daniel Rios being your only striker in this one, it just wasn't able to get that final touch that you needed. I mean, we were talking in here while we were watching the match and listening to the call. If you're having Steele Gregerson getting your shots on target, that's probably not the best situation for Atlanta United. And look, I mean, we talked a lot about Caleb Wiley and Brooks Lennon and the way that they're able to shoot up the wings and find space out there. But it doesn't help if they're playing crosses in to nobody home. If nobody is home, you're not going to be able to score a lot of goals. And just sort of a frustrating result for Atlanta United in this one. So let's dig into some of the statistical numbers here, because the statistical recap is brought to you by Piedmont. Piedmont Healthcare offers you exceptional hassle-free care closer to home. Piedmont, the official adult healthcare provider of Atlanta United. And the five stripes, just kind of a frustrating one when you actually look at the statistical numbers. They win possession 54-46. Shots on goal 7-5. Total shots 20-12. And have an XG of 1.9 to 1.1, and this is just the story of the season for Atlanta United, Madison. I mean, you win the statistical recaps, but you don't win on the scoreboard, because Veroni, he gets a brace. You have 12 corners in this match, but you're not able to put any in the back of the net. Just frustrating.
And I mean, I think Mike mentioned it in the call. Atlanta has yet to score a set-piece goal all season.
And that's, I did not know that.
And that's not something that we're not used to.
Mm-hmm.
It's very, very often that we have just great playmakers who can create chances and create goals off of set pieces, and it's been something that's been a struggle lately, and it's something that we still haven't yet perfected, and that's definitely going to need to be a focus moving forward in the rest of the season, is how can the Five Stripes capitalize on finding something in a set piece. You get those great opportunities. You have a free kick. We might not be having Almada here very soon, who can't take those free kicks for us, and how are you going to find those moments? Corner kicks, especially 12 corner kicks. And we couldn't make something happen there. And that's where you would use a Gregerson, someone who is tall, who can get a header in there. But you've got to find those opportunities. You have to be able to capitalize. You have to have someone who's big, who can create those chances, who can just be a good striker up top. And we only have Daniel Rios. We need to find someone else who can come in and be that Yorgos Giakoumakis, who we need very, very, very badly, especially heading into the rest of the season.
Absolutely. So make sure you get your questions in. What's your Twitter handle? I'm sorry.
Ooh, my Twitter handle is MadisonCruz7.
Awesome.
On both Instagram and Twitter.
Awesome. So make sure you get your questions in to Madison. I'm at GChapATL, at Longshoe, at MikeConti929. If you get those questions in, we will get to them in the order that they are received. I've already seen a couple come through, and we will get to those here coming up on the Full Time Report. It's just a frustrating night for Atlanta United. Of course, they do fall 2-1 to the New England Revolution. We talk a little bit about creating opportunities, but not being able to finish those opportunities. The number one thing for this team going forward, of course, in the absence of Yorgos Giakoumakis, who is down with Cruz Azul, Thiago Almada, who is now going down to Brazil, Botafogo, you got to create something. You need to have somebody who could be a magician in the final third. You don't have that right now, especially in the absence of Jamal Traoré, who is on the shelf with the shoulder injury. It's just a brutal situation for this team, and you just got to make the best of this situation right now, because the transfer window in MLS. Does not open until July 18th. And at that point, you're going to be looking at Caleb Wiley potentially moving off into the Europe, up over to Paris for the Summer Olympics. I mean, there are guys who are going to be leaving this team here in the very near future. So you need to weather the storm, especially with a very difficult test coming up on Saturday. But we got to jump into our man of the match and update you on our season-long standings. Madison, who did you see as your man of the match?
For my man of the match, I have to go Caleb Wiley. I have to. I mean, not the goal scorer, but I mean, he was working absolutely so hard on that side, absolutely creating chances, driving forward, trying to create passes, stopping defenders. He was doing everything. And I thought he had an absolutely phenomenal performance. I think he has been working so hard this season in particular. He's been a standout for me in a couple of matches, but I think in this one alone, I think he did a great job given the circumstances, given what New England was doing as well. I think Caleb did a great, great job tonight.
I think that's a tremendous one. I mean, look, you could have given it to Daniel Rios, who scores the goal, but I mean, look, I mean, you scored in stoppage time. It wasn't a little bit less, too late for romance right there. But I mean, that's the second one for Caleb Wiley on the season. He's one of the top. You wouldn't believe that he's 19 years old. If I didn't tell you that he was 19 years old, he does not look like he's 19. He doesn't play like he's 19. He doesn't act like he's 19. He has a maturity beyond his years.
Absolutely. I mean, I don't think I realized he was 19 years old until I was looking one day and I was like, he's younger than me. Like that's
crazy. Humbling, isn't it?
It is very humbling. It really is. Like I'm 21 and I'm like, oh gosh, I'm like, what am I doing?
Exactly.
But he's absolutely a phenomenal player. The way he has matured as a player and a person in the time he's been with Atlanta, I think it's so cool to watch. Just the way he's developed as a player on the field, but also like in the locker room, off the field, the way he's almost a leader as well. I think it's awesome, and I think that's why he's the man of the match, and that's why we're all ringing so highly about him. That's why he might be being sought after by some clubs, and that's exactly why. He has the talent, he has the mentality, he has the maturity.
He's the personification of what Atlanta United wants to do with their homegrown program.
Absolutely.
I mean, he's somebody who's come up through the ranks, start to finish, in an Atlanta United shirt. And I mean, he had a tremendous game today, even though it didn't show up on the stat sheet necessarily. And look, I think he's a good option for your man of the match. And we are going to continue with all of this discussion. We are going to send it back up to Foxborough here from Rob Valentino, the manager. And we will do it all right here on the Full Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz here on a losing Wednesday night. Atlanta United loses 2-1 to New England Revolution. The Revs have now won 5 of their last 6, despite not creating a lot of chances today. 5 shots on goal on only 12 shots. Atlanta United way outshoots them 20-12, outscoring them there. Really just the antithesis of Atlanta United's season, because they just continue to create chances. But I mean, this goes back to whatever the issues that were plaguing Gonzalo Pineda. I mean, this is a team that created chances but wasn't able to finish those opportunities. Health and everything else had a lot to do with that. But this does snap Atlanta's 4-match unbeaten streak, and Rob Valentino falls to 2-1-2 in his 5 managerial starts as an interim. But let's go back up to Foxborough. Speaking of Rob Valentino, he is at the podium.
We'll start with questions in the room, and we'll go to Zoom if we have time. Doug, go ahead.
You spoke on, I forgot what day it is, Tuesday and Monday, about constant focus, referencing the goals y'all allowed against Toronto. What happened on the 2 goals tonight in regard to that kind of constant focus?
Yeah, I mean, on the first goal, like where I would say we're probably trying to attempt to press a little bit higher, or in a moment where we thought we could win the ball, if I remember correctly, on the right side, and Brooks goes, and then Steon goes and kind of misses the tackle, or they kind of get together. And then from there, they recover, and I feel like we have 2 players there, and then as soon as he gets in between us, I don't know if that one's a focus one, really. It's maybe just a play that we mistimed and misjudged on the tackles, or didn't win the actual tackle. And then the second one, yeah, it's like you're under it. No doubt about it, we were under it there at that moment. We were defending crosses, defending a little bit stronger inside the box, and then in one quick moment they pull off us, and we've talked about being man for man inside the box there and not letting guys kind of get that inch, and they got it and they punished us.
Offensively, the post Tiago era, though I know he's not officially sold, a lot of good stats offensively tonight. But how did you feel the execution was overall?
Yeah, I mean, that's the tough part about it. Like, you look at the scoreline. That's it. Like, the score is 2-1 and we lose the game. So you can look at that. I mean, I think the positive is that there's chances there, but the expected goals and chances, they don't mean anything to me unless they go in the back of the net. Like, we can have the high expected goals and lose every game, and that wouldn't be fun. So I think that for me, it's great so that we're having it. I feel like we were putting them under some pressure. The goalkeeper made some really good saves, I would say, as well. That showed me that the team was persistent. They were continuously trying to put different deliveries, different movements to get inside those areas. And maybe that's the nature of the game, though, too. They were down 2-0. Maybe they dropped in a little bit. Maybe that was something that they were focused on. I don't know. But, yeah, expected goals and chance creation, great. But we need the goals to actually go in. So,
and without Almada, what was – did you have to change anything tonight? Did you change expectations, tactics, directives?
Yeah, I mean, the tactics always probably change a little bit in each game, and based off the players we have, based off the opponent. The players that we have in this locker room are the players we have. The players that are, you know, coming back from injury are the players we have. I'm not thinking about anybody else other than the group that we've got in front of us. And the group that we've got in front of us has shown me that they are capable of winning a game like this, and they were in it. So, yeah, I mean, the tactics will always change from game to game, or different roles and responsibilities. We try to change the midfield a little bit. And then in the game, we adapted things as well, because we're trying to pull different things out to win the game.
And I'm sorry, last one for me. The first half, there were four chances created, I think, kind of two really good chances at the end of the half. But then in the second half, the offense really came alive. What did y'all change at halftime to kind of get the offense going?
I mean, the first half, like, they scored early, but even right before that, right? I would say right off the kickoff, we almost created a goal scoring chance. So we did have some chances. And then, yeah, we were under it a little bit. And then, yeah, we give up two goals and we're down at half. You know, we got into some details about how we could be better at getting in behind in the halftime. Yeah. And then from there, they kind of took it as we started to change shape a little bit, as we changed players' roles, substitutions come on, you know, people like that, you know, make a difference. And another one made a difference tonight. And I think that's important, that as we make changes, and, you know, we're going to need everybody. So that helps. But I wouldn't say it was specific at halftime, but it was, yeah, part of the continued message that we were trying to get back in the game and get ourselves a goal to start to kickstart a comeback there.
Felt like in the first 45, New England's best chances, best opportunities came when they were overloading the wide positions. How did you kind of want the team to handle those moments? And did you change anything in the second half, or did they just drop off a bit?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They did that. We talked about different ways. There was a couple of different ways you could do it, with the wing back and jumping all the way to the fullback, and then everybody else shifting over. We talked about midfielder going out to support to help there. We also then talked about one of the front two helping if it's a fullback that's deeper, so dropping in that space. That was in the first half. We were trying to get that information because I think there's different solutions to different problems that they could cause there. And then at halftime, yeah, we did talk about, we showed some video, talked about how we could adjust it, and then also get some feedback of how they're feeling and how we can shift the whole back line over to help be a little more compact and help with that issue. And maybe it is like the second half, they dropped off, and I would imagine that that wouldn't have been the message for them coming in out of halftime. But yeah, the second half had more momentum our way, but still they created chances in transition. So we have to try to eliminate that as well.
I felt like when Atlanta was pinning New England back, Brooks Lennon had a lot of opportunities from the right side, putting crosses into dangerous areas, but the runs weren't there. Is that something that it's just going to take a little bit of time with the personnel to figure out?
Hopefully not. I mean, the things that we did talk about were movements. So movements across near posts, somebody across back posts, cutback areas, but constant movement. I do feel like it was at times static. There was a lot of New England players inside the box. So whether Brooks got it or Caleb got it, or whoever was in the wide areas when they got it, there was numbers there. So we weren't able to break quicker because they already had the numbers back. So we weren't able to have less players inside the box. And then, we needed more movement in there because movement will hopefully pull players apart a little bit. We didn't have it. So it's something we need to continue working on. It'll be a message that we continue with. And yeah, that's that.
And it felt like with the 5-2-3, when Saba came on, the shape kind of opened up more. And did you get everything you wanted out of the team? The exception of goals, obviously, did you get the effect that you wanted by getting three across the front?
Yeah, I think it was better. I mean, there was 5-2-3 in the attacking side of it, and then 5-4-1 when you drop back defensively just to try to get a solid line across, because I felt like we started to chase out to their midfielders and we didn't need to in that moment. And then eventually, like, they were giving us the ball back and we were able to go and hurt them a little bit more in transition, but also to, yeah, put more players in the middle of the field and get our wing backs to overlap as well. Apart from the goals, I think the changes that we made in game were ones that we needed to make and ones that were good in the moment of where I'm looking at it now. Obviously, you always reflect and look back at what you can do different, and I'll continue doing that.
All right, so that's Rob Valentino. Yeah, that's Rob Valentino up in Foxborough, Massachusetts, as Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution. This is the Full-Time Report. Madison Cruz joining me, Garrett Chapman down here in Atlanta. Madison, I mean, one of my three keys, I specifically said don't give them an inch. And I love how Rob Valentino actually used pretty much my exact same expression. He says we couldn't give them an inch. But they allowed too much. Jason had an astute observation when he was saying that they overloaded the wings. And look, it's the absence of the fullbacks on the backside when you're able to push them up forward. That's just where you give them space. And New England, credit to them. I mean, they were able to find a little bit of space back there, and they made Atlanta United pay. And it was that, or it was playing long balls. They played a lot of home run balls, and they didn't need a lot of opportunities because they connected on the ones that they had.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I agree with Jason. I noticed it too, kind of in the beginning, New England kind of highlighted and really capitalized on those sides because I feel like they probably knew that that Wiley and Lennon were going to be pushing up and creating more. They wouldn't have that extra defensive area that we normally do have when we do play in that formation. They normally sit back. This time they were pushing forward. But I mean, one thing that's really interesting too is New England's head coach, Caleb Porter, even said coming into this match that they were looking to rebound from that loss against Columbus. That was what they were trying to do, and that's exactly what they did. They came out strong, and one thing that always, especially this season, I've noticed is when Atlanta comes in, they come in really strong at the very beginning. They'll play really hard for the first couple of minutes, and then as soon as the other team scores, it just kind of deflates.
Mm.
It really feels like the energy just kind of like dries out and there's really nothing there. It's almost like the wind gets taken out of you. It comes back in the second half and it pushes forward, but sometimes that's not enough because then at that point you have teams kind of bunkering in. They're not going to let anything go. They're going to switch to a more defensive area, and that's what New England did.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's hard to balance. It's hard to balance there, but one thing I did love that what Valentino did say is, you know, the stats did back Atlanta. You know, we had a lot of shots on goal, but it means absolutely nothing if none of it goes into the back of the net.
Yeah, it's exactly right. I mean, it's kind of the opposite of what we had been hearing earlier in the season. It's just the fact that it doesn't matter. I mean, we can talk about XG all we want, but if it doesn't show up on the goals statistical category, then what does it really matter? And Rob Valentino did talk a little bit about that, but he says, quote, we need to score goals. And I completely agree, as Atlanta United does fall 2-1 to New England Revolution. But I got to jump into some highlights here because these are brought to you by Scana. For over 20 years, Scana Energy has made it easy for Georgians to receive the best natural gas rates and excellent customer service. Call 877-467-2262 to sign up today. And it was kind of a slow start, like Madison mentioned. I mean, Giacomo Veroni wins a 1v1 against Derek Williams to give the Revs an early 1-0 lead.
Javier Arriaga, he sends it down the left wing. Jones playing it ahead to Vrioni. Onside against Gregerson in a 1v2. Dribbles past him, Brad off his line. And Vrioni slams it into the open net. New England in transition blows right past Atlanta United and gets the 1-0 lead.
Yeah, and that's pretty much the story of what was going on for Atlanta United in this first half. I mean, Atlanta was allowing a lot of balls into their final third, and they were getting picked apart on the wings with a little tiki-taka style of play from New England. And look, they weren't able to really get the ball forward at first, and then they were. They were kind of overloading the wings. Caleb Wiley, Brooks Lennon were finding a little bit of success playing the balls inside, but they weren't able to connect with anything. And then one big note in the 37th minute, Steon Gregerson does pick up a yellow card, and he will be suspended for Saturday's match against Real Salt Lake. And that's when the home run ball started to play forward, and Yakumo Veroni secures a brace after beating Steon Gregerson on this play.
Lennon steers him back into the corner. Now bounce back into the midfield. Here's Polster, 30 yards away. Ahead to Byrak Terevich. Top of the box to Noel Buck, right corner of the 18. Cross the back post. Volleyed into the goal by Brioni. A golazo, and it's 2-0 New England.
Yeah, Steon Gregerson got beat on that one, but there wasn't really much that our defender could do. And they do take a 2-0 lead into the halftime locker room. It didn't feel really like a 2-0 deficit, but that's where we were. And then coming out of the halftime locker room, no significant changes. And look, we had some confidence coming out of this one because New England does get burned in second halves. But that is when they kind of bunker down. And look, there were lots of opportunities that were created that we talked about just moments ago when we were reacting to what Rob Valentino was saying. They played crosses in and crosses in and more crosses in and more crosses in. Brooks Lynn and Caleb Wiley just peltering that back line with crosses in, but nothing really was able to connect. Ivicic, the keeper, had a tremendous game, and really he deserved a clean sheet for New England, but then we did get a Daniel Rios late header.
Firmino in the near corner. Firmino will tap it back to Hernandez now on the right side of the 18. He dribbles parallel to goal and will send it to Wolf. Header! Score! On the back post! And now Atlanta United has cut the lead in half as we cross to stoppage time.
And that was Daniel Rios. Tremendous header from him and a ball in from Ronald Hernandez. And look, credit to Atlanta United. They kept the pressure up, but they looked out of sync too much in this match. They weren't able to connect with enough goals, and that's just the nature of it. They fall 2-1 to New England Revolution. And we're going to have more discussion and discourse on the Full-Time Report, Madison Cruz and myself, Garrett Chapman. So get your questions in at GChapATL, at Mike Conti 929, at Longshu, and at Madison Cruz 6-7. Almost at it. Madison Cruz 7. And we will get to those questions here on the Full-Time Report. So make sure you get those into us, and we will have more discourse right here on the Full-Time Report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Full-time! This is the Full-Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz. We are reacting to an Atlanta United loss 2-1 to New England Revolution. A bit of a disappointing match here today. Look, this is an Atlanta United team that we know is talented enough. They're creating opportunities, but they're just not finishing those opportunities. And Madison, let's just dive right in here to some of this analysis, because this team needs a striker. We were talking about it during the break. They need to get some help there. I mean, it's just, it hasn't been enough. Of course, you had a Yorgos Yakimakis, a guy who was at 5 goals in the month of March. Then he goes on the shelf. And then since really that moment when he goes on the shelf after Chicago Fire, this team has had a glaring need at that position. They go out and get a Daniel Rios and hope that he can potentially be that third guy behind a Jamal Traore, behind a Yorgos Yakimakis. But of course, he's gone. He's down to Cruz Azul, down in Mexico, and he's no longer with the club. And then you lose a Thiago Almada, who of course is not a striker in the traditional sense, but he is somebody who can create some magic at that number 10 spot. He's also gone. He's Botafogo down in Brazil. And not officially yet, I guess, technically. I mean, air quotes, but he's going to be down there here in the coming days. Look, this team needs somebody who can create these sorts of opportunities, have some magic at that striker position, and they just don't have it right now.
Yeah, and I mean, Rob mentioned it in the post game today. You know, he has these players. He's going to play with the players that he has in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you do have a lot of talent on this team. I also think you might want to look maybe towards the Atlanta United 2 guys. You have Ashton Gordon. Ashton Gordon, who is a homegrown, signed a deal with Atlanta United that will come into effect. He will play for the first team, be an official member of the first team on January 2025. He signed that earlier this year, but I had the chance to talk to him, and I mean, he's ready for the opportunity. He's such a talented striker in what he's able to do. He also has the ability to trade things out as well. He can be a number 10 when needed to. The first time he ever played it was in the Open Cup match against Charleston Battery. Never played the position before. Played it remarkably. He had an absolutely phenomenal game. But I think he's someone you can look forward to. He's a young player. He can bring in some of that energy. He can bring some momentum up at the top. I think he could be a great fit. Also, if you're looking for more of that energy, we got Luke Brennan. Let's go ahead and bring up Alan Carlton. Alan Carlton, wow. I mean, he is like, I have a Jack Russell. I think he's like a Jack Russell. The way he's just able to just run all over the place. He has so much energy. He has so much creative mentality in what he's able to do. I think he'd be a great opportunity to bring up and just get him going. See what he can do. See what opportunities he can create. Had another phenomenal performance against Charleston Battery when he came in. Came in as one of the last minute subs and was absolutely phenomenal. So I think you can turn to some of those players to bring in some of that energy. Obviously, you definitely want to get a striker in this window coming up on July 18th. But for right now, look at the players you have, because you have some good players who are on the twos who you can bring up for a little bit and see that going. But you don't want to waste that because you do have the Open Cup. You maybe want to save that for that tournament as well. But hey, it doesn't hurt to look.
Yeah. And Madison, of course, works with soccer down here. She has a lot of understanding of the twos, and we're going to dive into a lot of that understanding here on the Full-Time Report. But in the meantime, let's go back up to Foxborough, where Brooks Lennon's taking the podium.
It obviously hurts you, coming down from 1-0 instead of 2-0 is a lot different. But the game was much better in the second half, and we addressed some things at halftime that we thought could work in our favor, and they did. And I thought it was much better, and we had some positive runs and movements inside the box. But ultimately, we didn't finish our chances.
And this is an obvious question, but what were the difficulties without having Tiago in the lineup with getting things kind of going, maybe particularly in the first half?
Yeah, I think obviously Tiago is a great player, and we're going to miss him a lot. He's a guy that can create things on his own at times. But I think we lacked a little bit of that creativity. And I think it was just, stagnant in the first half. I think there weren't many, runs being made. I think we played into their hands in the first half. I think the second half was a lot better. And we moved the ball much quicker from side to side. And we talked about in the pregame, if we can, move the ball from side to side and have long switches, even wing back to wing back, it'll help us create chances because, they'll be expansive and we can open them up. So very frustrated, obviously, from tonight's result, but I think we can take some positives from the second half. It doesn't help when we lose a player like Tiago. I'm going to be honest with you. It doesn't help, but, we have to focus on the group that's in the locker room now.
Jason had asked Rob about back post crosses that you were making, and Rob was talking about there weren't enough runs being made, and that people were stagnant.
Yeah.
I was just curious, is that a frustration for you, or how do you handle that in the game when you're doing this, but people aren't making the runs?
Yeah, sometimes it's frustrating. I want to increase my individual statistics. I think I can be closer to where I was last year. I have to put, the perfect cross in and hope that our strikers are able to get on the end of it. I think those back post crosses, I think even from Caleb's side as well, were great. He put some very dangerous balls in. So we need to know that both of our wing backs are very good, have very good delivery of the ball. So when the ball gets wide, just trying to get more numbers in the box so that we can score goals.
Felt like the game changed in the second half a little bit with you cutting inside more, cutting back to the left foot, but then also coming inside. Was that part of kind of game plan, or was that just you finding that space?
Yeah, I think teams have definitely started to scout me. and they're really, cutting off my right foot at times. And, I'm pretty good with my left foot. So if they're going to play me like that, I'll go inside all day long. And it's actually more dangerous to go inside than it is, outside and crossing the ball. So if they continue to defend me like that, I'm just going to continue to go inside and combine with the striker and even get some shots on goal and hopefully score some goals.
It felt like that movement started to open up space for not even just you, but for others, for the three midfielders, especially just flooding that zone. Is that something you think you can kind of build on going forward?
Definitely. Yeah. I think you know, if we continue to play, you know, the way we've been playing, and you know, I get a lot of space at times out wide, and a lot of the times I'm isolated out there when I get the ball. So it's a good opportunity for me to go 1v1 against a fullback or a wingback. Yeah, and I think.
Full time. This is the Full Time Report
on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report, Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz. We are reacting to an Atlanta United loss 2-1 to New England Revolution. A bit of a disappointing match here today. I mean, look, this is an Atlanta United team that we know is talented enough. They're creating opportunities, but they're just not finishing those opportunities. And Madison, let's just dive right in here to some of this analysis, because this team needs a striker. We were talking about it during the break. They need to get some help there. I mean, it's just, it hasn't been enough. I mean, of course, you had a Yorgos Yakimakis, a guy who was at 5 goals in the month of March. Then he goes on the shelf, and then since really that moment when he goes on the shelf after Chicago Fire, this team has had a glaring need at that position. They go out and get a Daniel Rios and hope that he can potentially be that third guy behind a Jamal Traore, behind a Yorgos Yakimakis. But of course, he's gone. He's down to Cruz Azul, down in Mexico, and he's no longer with the club. And then you lose a Thiago Almada, who of course is not a striker in the traditional sense, but he is somebody who can create some magic at that number 10 spot. He's also gone. He's Botafogo down in Brazil. And not officially yet, I guess, technically. I mean, air quotes. But he's going to be down there here in the coming days. Look, this team needs somebody who can create these sorts of opportunities, have some magic at that striker position, and they just don't have it right now.
Yeah, and I mean, Rob mentioned it in the post game today. You know, he has these players. He's going to play with the players that he has in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you do have a lot of talent on this team. I also think you might want to look maybe towards the Atlanta United 2 guys. You have Ashton Gordon. Ashton Gordon, who is a homegrown, signed a deal with Atlanta United that will come into effect. He will play for the first team, be a official member of the first team on January 2025. He signed that earlier this year, but I had the chance to talk to him, and I mean, he's ready for the opportunity. He's such a talented striker in what he's able to do. He also has the ability to trade things out as well. He can be a number 10 when needed to. The first time he ever played it was in the Open Cup match against Charleston Battery. Never played the position before. Played it remarkably. He had an absolutely phenomenal game. But I think he's someone you can look forward to. He's a young player. He can bring in some of that energy. He can bring some momentum up at the top. I think he could be a great fit. Also, if you're looking for more of that energy, we got Luke Brennan. Let's go ahead and bring up Alan Carlton. Alan Carlton, wow. I mean, he is like, I have a Jack Russell. I think he's like a Jack Russell. The way he's just able to just run all over the place. He has so much energy. He has so much creative mentality in what he's able to do. I think he'd be a great opportunity to bring up and just get him going. See what he can do. See what opportunities he can create. Had another phenomenal performance against Charleston Battery when he came in. Came in as one of the last minute subs and was absolutely phenomenal. So I think you can turn to some of those players to bring in some of that energy. Obviously, you definitely want to get a striker in this window coming up on July 18th. But for right now, look at the players you have, because you have some good players who are on the twos who you can bring up for a little bit and see that going. But you don't want to waste that, because you do have the Open Cup. You maybe want to save that for that tournament as well. But hey, it doesn't hurt to look.
Yeah. And Madison, of course, works with soccer down here. She has a lot of understanding of the twos, and we're going to dive into a lot of that understanding here on the Full Time Report. But in the meantime, let's go back up to Foxborough, where Brooks Lennon's take the podium.
It obviously hurts you, you know, coming down from 1-0 instead of 2-0 is a lot different. But the game was much better in the second half, and we addressed some things at halftime that we thought could work in our favor, and they did. And I thought it was much better, and we had some positive runs and movements inside the box. But ultimately, we didn't finish our chances.
And this is an obvious question, but what were the difficulties without having Thiago in the lineup with getting things kind of going, maybe particularly in the first half?
Yeah, I think obviously Thiago is a great player, and we're going to miss him a lot. He's a guy that can create things on his own at times. I think we lacked a little bit of that creativity. And I think it was just, stagnant in the first half. I think there weren't many, runs being made. I think we played into their hands in the first half. I think the second half was a lot better, and we, know, we move the ball much quicker from side to side. And we talked about in the pregame, if we can, you know, move the ball from side to side and, you know, have long switches, you know, even wing back to wing back, it'll help us create chances because, you know, they'll be expansive, and we can open them up. So very frustrated, obviously, from tonight's result, but I think we can take some positives from the second half. But yeah, it doesn't help when you know, we lose a player like Thiago. I'm going to be honest with you, it doesn't help. But you know, we have to focus on the group that's in the locker room now.
Jason had asked Rob about back post crosses that you were making, and Rob was talking about there weren't enough runs being made, and that people were stagnant.
Yeah.
I was just curious. How do you, is that a frustration for you, or how do you handle that in the game when you're doing this, but people aren't making the runs?
Yeah, sometimes it's frustrating. You know, I want to increase my individual statistics. I think I can be closer to where I was last year. But, you know, I have to put, you know, the perfect cross in and you know, hope that our strikers are able to get on the end of it. And, yeah, I think, you know, those back post crosses, I think even from Caleb's side as well, mm-hmm. You know, were great. He put some very dangerous balls in. So we need to know that both of our wingbacks are very good, you know, have very good delivery of the ball. So when the ball gets wide, just trying to get more numbers in the box so that we can score goals.
Felt like the game changed in the second half a little bit with you cutting inside more, cutting back to the left foot, but then also coming inside. Was that part of kind of game plan, or was that just you finding that space?
Yeah, I think teams have definitely started to scout me, and they're really, you know, cutting off my right foot at times. And you know, I'm pretty good with my left foot, so if they're gonna play me like that, I'll go inside all day. All day long, and it's actually more dangerous to go inside than it is, you know, outside and crossing the ball. So, if they continue to defend me like that, I'm just going to continue to go inside and you know, combine with the striker and even get some shots on goal and hopefully score some goals.
It felt like that movement started to open up space for not even just you, but for others, for the three midfielders, especially just flooding that zone. You know, is that something you think you can kind of build on going forward?
Definitely. Yeah. I think, you know, if we continue to play, you know, the way we've been playing and, you know, I get a lot of space at times out wide and, a lot of the times I'm isolated out there, when I get the ball. So it's a good opportunity for me to go 1v1 against a fullback or a wingback. Yeah. And I think if I can make my game a little bit more, all around in terms of beating guys inside, and also outside. So, you know, he doesn't know if I'm going to go, to my right foot or to my left foot. That's the worst player to play against. Especially as a fullback, I know, you know, wingers that are good with both feet are very tough to defend. So, yeah, I'm going to continue to use my left foot if they're going to just allow me to have it. And, you know, I've been watching a lot of film with Matt Lowry and, ways that I can hurt teams and hurt opponents if they're going to continue to defend me like this, because the last two games, Toronto at home, Derek obviously knows me, Derek Etienne, he knows me well. So he knows kind of what I like to do, but, as well, Duan Jones tonight, he's a good defender, but, yeah, he was just giving me the inside all night. And so in the second half, I tried to take it as much as possible and combine with Danny.
Yeah, some strong comments here from Brooks Lennon, the fullback for Atlanta United. And look, I mean, he talked about it, Matty. I mean, he says the runs, I mean, they were coming in. The runners just weren't coming, and they weren't hitting on the inside, and they were producing side-to-side action. And he says that was pretty much the game plan. But I think he was basically, there was a very poignant message there. It was, get in the box and let me create opportunities for you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's basically what I took away from it, too. You know, and even Brooks, you know, delivering, teams are scouting him. Teams know that has a very, very powerful right foot. Mm-hmm. So he's switching it up. That's what you have to do. You adapt and you keep going. But Brooks is absolutely phenomenal on that right side. We've seen it since he's been with Atlanta. Even before that, he's just a very, very technical player, can create those opportunities. But again, it's just that same message of getting somebody in the box to capitalize on that. and to get it into the back of the net and to get some goals, because that's exactly what this team needs. We need some goals. We need to find someone who can get those goals and we can capitalize and keep rolling, because that needs to come, because we can create the chances. We have the talent to create the chances. That's not the issue.
Mm-hmm.
We have the talent. The talent is there, and the talent is absolutely incredible. It's just finding someone who can get in there and just finish it off, whether it be a touch, a header, anything. We need someone who can do that.
Yeah. And look, until they're able to do that, I mean, this team is going to continue to struggle scoring goals. But fortunately, it hasn't hurt them too much on the table. And we will update you here on the other side of the full-time report. But in the meantime, Atlanta United would like to remind you that for each Atlanta United clean sheet this season, they will donate $2,000 to the Children's Healthcare of Atlanta. This year's donation total is currently $8,000. So let's try to get that up with Real Salt Lake this weekend. That'll be a very difficult test, but we will discuss that one in the coming, I'd say 20 minutes or so of the full-time report. Keep it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Atlanta United does fall 2-1 to the New England Revolution. Madison Cruz, Garrett Chapman here on the full-time report. More after this.
Back to the full-time report.
Full time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz here as Atlanta United does fall to New England Revolution 2-1. Rob Valentino, manager, is 2-1-2 now as interim manager of our Five Stripes. But I do want to continue taking your questions here on Twitter. David, I see you have asked a question. Madison also has received a question. But before we do that, we got to go check out what's happening on this MLS table. Because we have a stunner up there in Chicago. Look, Chicago goes up 1-0, and then it was all Philadelphia. They score 3 unanswered goals up through the 49th minute, and it looks like that was all she wrote up there in Chicago. And the Windy City had something else to say, because in the final 10 minutes of play, Madison, they scored 3 goals, just an unbelievable finish, and they steal 3 points at the buzzer and win the match 4-3 over Philadelphia Union. Unbelievable finish.
Listen, the last I checked the score, it was 3-1 Philadelphia. And I was like, okay, you know.
So we started the last segment.
Yeah, I was like, Philadelphia's going to win. It's whatever. It's fine. I like turn it in while we're in the break, and I look, and I'm absolutely stunned. I had to like walk all the way across the room. I had to pace for a second.
Yeah, she walks over there, the other side of the room. I'm like, where's she going? Is she abandoning me here in the studio? But no, it's just Chicago causing a little bit of insanity here on a Wednesday night. I mean, just a crazy thing. So checking up here on the Eastern Conference table, that does affect everything a lot. Because let's run through some of these results. Charlotte falls to Miami 2-1. D.C. falls to Cincinnati 3-2. NYCFC takes over Montreal 2-0. Orlando beats Toronto 2-1. New England, of course, beats Atlanta United 2-1. Chicago at the buzzer, at the death, beats Philadelphia 4-3. Vancouver wins 3-1 over Minnesota. A bit of a surprising result there. St. Louis, 2-0 winners over San Jose. And Columbus Crew, 2-0 winners over Nashville. And then just coming out of halftime, Real Salt Lake, our opponent on Saturday, is a 2-1 leader over Houston Dynamo. And then, of course, tomorrow's action, Dallas and Portland at 8:30, Colorado and SKC, Sporting Kansas City, 9:30, and then LA Galaxy, LAFC, El Trafico, 10:40, the marquee matchup of the night. And that does affect our table quite substantially, because Atlanta United is sitting in a three-way tie for the 8th spot. Toronto, Atlanta United, and Orlando City all sitting with 24 points, 2 points down of Nashville with 26, Charlotte sitting at 32, New York Red Bulls sitting at 35, tied with NYCFC, Columbus at 36, and then a little bit up, it's Cincinnati at 45 points, and enter Miami at 47, but way down the table, Philadelphia Union. What in the world has happened up there in Philly? They now have 20 points, tied with DC United for last in the Eastern Conference.
Listen, I know at the beginning of this season, Philadelphia was very hot. They were just on it. They were a threat. And now it just kind of you know, is plateaued a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's...
Oh, plateaued. I mean, yeah.
Like, literally,
no, they're,
like
they're on Goliath going straight to the bottom. I mean, it's been a brutal run of play for them. But I do want to jump here onto Twitter and take your questions. You can still get those into us as we have one segment to go. At Madison Cruz, at GChap, ATL, at Longshoe, at Mike Conti 929. This one's from David. He says, Tristan Moyumbo looks disinterested. He played defense like Gio Reyna in a U.S. friendly. Brutal. Lots of possession from 25 yards out, but needs to take a few more shots or drop some short crosses over the top. Not awful, but just looked a bit flat all night. And, I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, some of that's a little harsh. Gio Reyna in a U.S. friendly. Tough there. But, I mean, he had some pretty bad giveaways here in this one, and Mike Conti and Jason Longshore pointed that out on the broadcast. But, I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more from him. I mean, and especially in this situation where you're down your number 10, you need to have a little bit more creation in the midfield. And you just weren't getting that today from this interior part of your attack in the midfield. You're relying a little bit too much on your wing play, on your wing backs specifically with the fullbacks and Brooks Lennon and Caleb Wiley. And Sabo Lubjanica, of course, coming back from international duty, he was only able to play the final 30 minutes and change. And on the left side, Johnny Silva, I mean, he's kind of in a forward spot that he's not really used to playing. So I was kind of hoping to see a little bit more from Tristan Moyumba, and we just didn't get that from him today.
Yeah, he had a couple of not so great turnovers, not so good passes. He just did not have the best game today. I thought he did really well in the last couple of matches. He's been a big bright spot in that midfield as well. But I'm definitely, this was not one of his better performances. But yeah. I also got a question as well from Abby Schiffman. It was basically, it was talking about what I said earlier about after the first goal against New England, the team kind of deflated. Basically, what Abby said is that there were times where we looked deflated after the goal, but we've been really improving on that since Rob has been here. Didn't really disagreed with me with that, but definitely tonight saw that. And I agree with you. I think under Rob Valentino, we've seen that. And I think I want to look back to the St. Louis match. St. Louis went up at the 50th, and then Daniel Rios came back in on that rebound, that penalty, made it in the 71st minute, made it 1-1. And I completely agree with you. I think that they definitely have improved on that, and there's that fight that's still there. And even there was the fight in the second half. It just felt like as soon as it happens, like it's the immediate reaction. And then that kind of just leaves that deflate, and you can use that time to build that momentum and keep it going and then try and search for that equalizer as soon as you can.
Yeah.
But I do agree. I think under Rob, there's definitely that fight a little bit more than it has been in the past.
I mean, I don't think the fight ever went away necessarily. I mean, they had some mental lapses that would happen, even going back to the Gonzalo Pineda era before he was, of course, the franchise moved on from him. But look, Rob Valentino's come in here. I think the pressure stayed up throughout the course of this match. I don't think it was ever an issue with pressure or fight or want to or anything like that. That never seemed to be the issue. It was just having a clinical finisher. Coming from multiple places, I mean, that's really what the biggest lacquer is for Atlanta United right now. I mean, that's what they need. And then on top of that, I mean, like on the backside, if you fall asleep too often with Steon Gregerson and Derek Williams, all it takes is a moment. And New England Revolution showed that that's really all it takes. And until they can get somebody up there who can be a consistent threat in attacking play, a true forward, someone who can play alongside of Daniel Rios. And no hate on Daniel Rios. Of course, he was able to score tonight. He did have the goal against St. Louis. He's shown multiple times throughout the course of this second half of this first half that he is capable of putting the ball in. It's just I don't necessarily like it that he's your only option in attack. And until that changes, well, we're going to have more 2-1 types of performances. And we'll have more of this discussion here. Madison Cruz joining me, Garrett Chapman on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One more segment to go. Stick it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Final segment here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz finishing up here as Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution on the road. And I'm taking a look here at the upcoming opponent as Salt Lake City. Ooh, Real Salt Lake is a tough opponent. I mean, like, look, this is one of the best teams in Major League Soccer, but Houston Dynamo have pulled level with them in the 61st minute. 2-2 is your score. And I do want to quickly dive into a quick preview of what we can expect here from Real Salt Lake. And they can score a lot of goals. Let's put it that way. 42 goals scored is second in Major League Soccer. behind only Inter Miami. But the biggest difference between Inter Miami and Real Salt Lake is that Real Salt Lake can play a little bit of defense too. They are 25 goals allowed. That is good for third or fourth best, tied for fourth best in all of Major League Soccer. That's a plus 17 goal differential. So we played a team today, lost 2-1 to a team with a negative 17 goal differential. And now we have a plus 17 who we're going to go on the road and go face. Christian Arango, of course, he has 26 goal contributions heading into tonight's match. Andres Gomez has 19. I have to do some quick math here, and that's not necessarily my strong suit. That's why I work in radio. But 19 gold contributions here for Gomez. It's good. They got the work cut out for him. Madison, any thoughts on this one?
Listen, math is hard sometimes. I don't blame you for that one.
Math stays hard.
Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, this matchup's going to be difficult. It's one of the hardest ones in this road stretch. It is. You know, New England was the one that you, I don't want to say you thought or secured that you have 3 points, because again, it's MLS. Anything can happen. It's one of those situations, but this was the easier matchup. And now you're going up against Real Salt Lake, one of the best teams right now in MLS. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Looking at the head-to-head, Atlanta has won 3 of the last 4 matches. So it's one of those things.
Maybe,
but
that's something. We'll see.
It's something. You got to go in. But I mean, if you are going to go against a great offense like Real Salt Lake, you got to look at the defense. I mean, our defense has been pretty strong so far. And, you know, we'll be out Gregerson, but Noah Cobb's going to step in. We know he can fill that position and execute it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too worried about that. I think our defense is going to be a lot more solid and continue to be solid, because that's just what it has been this entire season. I have no issues with our defense. It's going to be the offense that's going to be trying to get something going here. And that's what we've been talking about the entire full-time report. It's just figuring out how we can get that offense going and finding someone who can just find the back of the net.
Yeah. Yeah. And this team's going to have to wait until July 18th, unless, like you mentioned, Madison, earlier in the full-time report, maybe you go down to the ATL UTD twos, and maybe one of the twos can come up and give you a bit of a shot in the arm, if you will. And we'll see if that ends up happening. I'm not sure that's going to happen between now and Saturday. Coverage starting here on Sports Radio 92.9, the game at 8:30. Abe Gordon and I will get you ready for the matchup starting at 9:30 when we hand it off to Mike and Jason for the call over there in Real Salt Lake at America First Field. Tough one for Atlanta United tonight. Like we mentioned, I mean, they need to find some more attack. They fall 2-1 to New England Revolution. But that's it for us here on the Full-Time Report. Big thanks to Abe Gordon, who helped us with the Five Stripes countdown. Of course, Mike and Jason on the call. Madison Cruz, great job here on the Full-Time Report. Tremendous job. Radio debut. Awesome job here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I would be remiss if I did not thank Dom Trotsky taking care of us on the board. For all of them, my name is Garrett Chapman. This has been the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution. We will see you right here on Saturday night. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back to the Full-Time Report.
Full-time.
Our United play here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full-Time Report. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz here as Atlanta United does fall to New England Revolution 2-1. Rob Valentino, manager, is 2-1-2 now as interim manager of our Five Stripes. But I do want to continue taking your questions here on Twitter. David, I see you have asked a question. Madison also has received a question. But before we do that, we got to go check out what's happening on this MLS table. Because we have a stunner up there in Chicago. Look, Chicago goes up 1-0. And then it was all Philadelphia. They score 3 unanswered goals up through the 49th minute. And it looks like that was all she wrote up there in Chicago. And the Windy City had something else to say, because in the final 10 minutes of play, Madison, they scored 3 goals. 3 goals. Just an unbelievable finish. And they steal 3 points at the buzzer and win the match 4-3 over Philadelphia Union. Unbelievable finish.
Listen, the last I checked the score, it was 3-1 Philadelphia. And I was like, okay, you know.
So we started the last segment.
Yeah. I was like, you know, I was like, Philadelphia's going to win. It's whatever. It's fine. I like turn it in while we're in the break and I look and I'm absolutely stunned. Mm. I had to like walk all the way across the room. I had to pace for a second.
Yeah. She walks over there, the other side of the room. I'm like, where's she going? Is she abandoning me here in the studio? But no, it's just Chicago causing a little bit of insanity here on a Wednesday night. I mean, just a crazy thing. So, checking up here on the Eastern Conference table, that does affect everything a lot. Because let's run through some of these results. Charlotte falls to Miami 2-1. DC falls to Cincinnati 3-2. NYCFC takes over Montreal 2-0. Orlando beats Toronto 2-1. New England, of course, beats Atlanta United 2-1. Chicago at the buzzer, at the death, beats Philadelphia 4-3. Vancouver wins 3-1 over Minnesota. A bit of a surprising result there. St. Louis, 2-0 winners over San Jose, and Columbus Crew, 2-0 winners over Nashville. And then just coming out of halftime, Real Salt Lake, our opponent on Saturday, is a 2-1 leader over Houston Dynamo. And then, of course, tomorrow's action, Dallas and Portland at 8:30, Colorado and SKC, Sporting Kansas City, 9:30, and then LA Galaxy, LAFC, El Trafico, 10:40, the marquee matchup of the night, and that does affect our table quite substantially because Atlanta United is sitting in a three-way tie for the eighth spot. Toronto, Atlanta United, and Orlando City all sitting with 24 points, 2 points down of Nashville with 26, Charlotte sitting at 32, New York Red Bulls sitting at 35, tied with NYCFC, Columbus at 36, and then a little bit up, it's Cincinnati at 45 points, and Inter Miami at 47, but way down the table, Philadelphia Union. What in the world has happened up there in Philly? They now have 20 points, tied with DC United for last in the Eastern Conference.
Listen, I know at the beginning of this season, Philadelphia was very hot. They were just on it. They were a threat. They were a threat. And now it just kind of, you know, is plateaued a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so it's...
Oh, plateaued. I mean, yeah.
Like, literally.
No, they're on Goliath going straight to the bottom. I mean, it's been a brutal run of play for them. But I do want to jump here onto Twitter and take your questions. You can still get those into us as we have one segment to go. At Madison Cruz, at GChap, ATL, at Longshoe, at Mike Conti 929. This one's from David. He says, Tristan Mojomba looks disinterested. He played defense like Gio Reyna in a U.S. friendly. Brutal. Loss of possession from 25 yards out, but needs to take a few more shots or drop some short crosses over the top. Not awful, but just looked a bit flat all night. And I mean, I tend to agree. I mean, some of that's a little harsh. Gio Reyna in a U.S. friendly, tough there. But I mean, he had some pretty bad giveaways here in this one. And Mike Conti and Jason Longshore pointed that out on the broadcast. But I mean, I'd like to see a little bit more from him. I mean, and especially in this situation where you're down your number 10, you need to have a little bit more creation in the midfield. And you just weren't getting that today from this interior part of your attack in the midfield. You're relying a little bit too much on your wing play, on your wing backs specifically with the fullbacks and Brooks Lennon and Caleb Wiley. And Saba Lubjanica, of course, coming back from international duty, he was only able to play the final 30 minutes and change. And on the left side, Johnny Silva, I mean, he's kind of in a forward spot that he's not really used to playing. So I was kind of hoping to see a little bit more from Tristan Mojomba, and we just didn't get that from him today.
Yeah, he had a couple of not so great turnovers, not so good passes. He just did not have the best game today. I thought he did really well in the last couple of matches. He's been a big bright spot in that midfield as well. But I'm definitely, this was not one of his better performances. But yeah. I also got a question as well from Abby Schiffman. It was basically, it was talking about what I said earlier about after the first goal against New England, the team kind of deflated. Basically, what Abby said is that there were times where we looked deflated after the goal, but we've been really improving on that since Rob has been here. Didn't really disagreed with me with that, but definitely tonight saw that. And I agree with you. I think under Rob Valentino, we've seen that. And I think I want to look back to the St. Louis match. St. Louis went up at the 50th, and then Daniel Rios came back in on that rebound, that penalty, made it in the 71st minute, made it 1-1. And I completely agree with you. I think that they definitely have improved on that, and there's that fight that's still there. And even there was the fight in the second half. It just felt like as soon as it happens, like it's the immediate reaction. And then that kind of just leaves that deflate, and you can use that time to build that momentum and keep it going and then try and search for that equalizer as soon as you can.
Yeah.
But But I do agree. I think under Rob, there's definitely that fight a little bit more than it has been in the past.
I mean, I don't think the fight ever went away necessarily. I mean, they had some mental lapses that would happen, even going back to the Gonzalo Pineda era before he was, of course, the franchise moved on from him. But look, Rob Valentino's come in here. I think the pressure stayed up throughout the course of this match. I don't think it was ever an issue with pressure or fight or want to or anything like that. That never seemed to be the issue. It was just having a clinical finisher. Coming from multiple places, I mean, that's really what the biggest lacker is for Atlanta United right now. I mean, that's what they need. And then on top of that, I mean, like on the backside, if you fall asleep too often with Deion Gregerson and Derek Williams, all it takes is a moment. And New England Revolution showed that that's really all it takes. And until they can get somebody up there who can be a consistent threat in attacking play, a true forward, someone who can play alongside of Daniel Rios. And no hate on Daniel Rios. Of course, he was able to score tonight. He did have the goal against St. Louis. He's shown multiple times throughout the course of this first half that he is capable of putting the ball in. It's just I don't necessarily like it that he's your only option in attack. And until that changes, well, we're going to have more 2-1 types of performances. And we'll have more of this discussion here. Madison Cruz joining me, Garrett Chapman on the full-time report on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. One more segment to go. Stick it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
With more full-time report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the full-time report. Final segment here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz finishing up here as Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution on the road. And I'm taking a look here at the upcoming opponent as Salt Lake City. Ooh, Real Salt Lake is a tough opponent. I mean, like, look, this is one of the best teams in Major League Soccer, but Houston Dynamo have pulled level with them in the 61st minute. Two to two is your score. And I do want to quickly dive into a quick preview of what we can expect here from Real Salt Lake. And they can score a lot of goals. Let's put it that way. 42 goals scored is second in Major League Soccer behind only Inter Miami. But the biggest difference between Inter Miami and Real Salt Lake is that Real Salt Lake can play a little bit of defense, too. They are 25 goals allowed. That is good for tied for fourth best in all of Major League Soccer. That's a plus 17 goal differential. So we played a team today, lost 2-1 to a team with a negative 17 goal differential. And now we have a plus 17 who we're going to go on the road and go face. Christian Arango, of course, he has 26 goal contributions heading into tonight's match. Andres Gomez has 19. I have to do some quick math here, and that's not necessarily my strong suit. That's why I work in radio. But 19 gold contributions here for Gomez. It's good. They got the work cut out for him. Madison, any thoughts on this one?
Listen, math is hard sometimes. I don't blame you for that one.
Math stays hard.
Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, this matchup's going to be difficult. It's one of the hardest ones in this road stretch. It is. You know, New England was the one that I don't want to say you thought or secured that you have 3 points, because again, it's MLS. Anything can happen. It's one of those situations. But this was the easier matchup. And now you're going up against Real Salt Lake, one of the best teams right now in MLS. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Looking at the head-to-head, Atlanta has won 3 of the last 4 matches.
Mm.
So it's one of those things.
Maybe
but
that's something. We'll see.
It's something. You got to go in. But I mean, if you are going to go up against a great offense like Real Salt Lake, you got to look at the defense. I mean, our defense has been pretty strong so far. And, you know, we'll be out Gregerson, but Noah Cobb's going to step in. We know he can fill that position and execute it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too worried about that. I think our defense is going to be a lot more solid and continue to be solid, because that's just what it has been this entire season. I have no issues with our defense. It's going to be the offense that's going to be trying to get something going here. And that's what we've been talking about the entire full-time report. It's just figuring out how we can get that offense going and finding someone who can just find the back of the net.
Yeah. Yeah. And this team's going to have to wait until July 18th, unless, like you mentioned, Madison, earlier in the full-time report, maybe you go down to the ATL UTD twos, and maybe one of the twos can come up and give you a bit of a shot in the arm, if you will. And we'll see if that ends up happening. I'm not sure that's going to happen between now and Saturday. Coverage starting here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 8:30. Abe Gordon and I will get you ready for the matchup starting at 9:30 when we hand it off to Mike and Jason for the call over there in Real Salt Lake at America First Field. Tough one for Atlanta United tonight. Like we mentioned, I mean, they need to find some more attack. They fall 2-1 to New England Revolution. But that's it for us here on the Full Time Report. Big thanks to Abe Gordon, who helped us with the Five Stripes countdown. Of course, Mike and Jason on the call. Madison Cruz, great job here on the Full Time Report. Tremendous job. Radio debut. Awesome job here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I would be remiss if I did not thank Don Trotsky taking care of us on the board. For all of them, my name is Garrett Chapman. This has been the Full Time Report. Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution. We will see you right here on Saturday night. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Full Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back with more Full Time Report.
A complete review of today's match on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back into the Full Time Report. Final segment here in the Kia Studios on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Garrett Chapman, Madison Cruz finishing up here as Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution on the road. And I'm taking a look here at the upcoming opponent as Salt Lake City. Ooh, Real Salt Lake is a tough opponent. I mean, like, look, this is one of the best teams in Major League Soccer, but Houston Dynamo have pulled level with them in the 61st minute. It's 2-2 is your score. And I do want to quickly dive into a quick preview of what we can expect here from Real Salt Lake. And they can score a lot of goals. Let's put it that way. 42 goals scored is second in Major League Soccer, behind only Inter Miami. But the biggest difference between Inter Miami and Real Salt Lake is that Real Salt Lake can play a little bit of defense too. They are 25 goals allowed. That is good for third or fourth best, tied for fourth best in all of Major League Soccer. That's a plus 17 goal differential. So we played a team today, lost 2-1 to a team with a negative 17 goal differential. And now we have a plus 17 who we're going to go on the road and go face. Christian Arango, of course, he has 26 goal contributions heading into tonight's match. Andres Gomez has 19. I have to do some quick math here, and that's not necessarily my strong suit. That's why I work in radio. But 19 gold contributions here for Gomez. It's good. They got the work cut out for him. Madison, any thoughts on this one?
Listen, math is hard sometimes. I don't blame you for that one.
Math stays hard.
Absolutely. I don't know. I mean, this matchup's going to be difficult. It's one of the hardest ones in this road stretch. It is. You know, New England was the one that I don't want to say you thought or secured that you have 3 points, because again, it's MLS. Anything can happen. It's one of those situations, but this was the easier matchup. And now you're going up against Real Salt Lake, one of the best teams right now in MLS. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be hard. Looking at the head-to-head, Atlanta has won 3 of the last 4 matches. So it's one of those things.
Maybe,
but
that's something. We'll see.
It's something. You got to go in. But I mean, if you are going to go against a great offense like Real Salt Lake, you got to look at the defense. I mean, our defense has been pretty strong so far. And, you know, we'll be out Gregerson, but Noah Cobb's going to step in. We know he can fill that position and execute it very, very well.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not too worried about that. I think our defense is going to be a lot more solid and continue to be solid, because that's just what it has been this entire season. I have no issues with our defense. It's going to be the offense that's going to be trying to get something going here. And that's what we've been talking about the entire full-time report. It's just figuring out how we can get that offense going and finding someone who can just find the back of the net.
Yeah. Yeah. And this team's going to have to wait until July 18th, unless, like you mentioned, Madison, earlier in the full-time report, maybe you go down to the ATL UTD twos, and maybe one of the twos can come up and give you a bit of a shot in the arm, if you will. And we'll see if that ends up happening. I'm not sure that's going to happen between now and Saturday. Coverage starting here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at 8:30. Abe Gordon and I will get you ready for the matchup starting at 9:30 when we hand it off to Mike and Jason for the call over there in Real Salt Lake at America First Field. Tough one for Atlanta United tonight. Like we mentioned, I mean, they need to find some more attack. They fall 2-1 to New England Revolution. But that's it for us here on the Full Time Report. Big thanks to Abe Gordon, who helped us with the Five Stripes countdown. Of course, Mike and Jason on the call. Madison Cruz, great job here on the Full Time Report. Tremendous job. Radio debut. Awesome job here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And I would be remiss if I did not thank Don Trotsky taking care of us on the board. For all of them, my name is Garrett Chapman. This has been the Full-Time Report. Atlanta United falls 2-1 to New England Revolution. We will see you right here on Saturday night. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to the Full-Time Report, a complete wrap-up of today's Atlanta United game.
Tune in for complete match day coverage all season long. The home for our Atlanta United is Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.